Heavenly Father, thank you that you're good and you love us. Thank you for Christmas, for your son Jesus coming into the world. Help us as we all hear and as I speak to understand and rejoice more in your son. Amen. Now, who finished school last week? Who finished last Thursday or Friday? Some teachers having hands up here. Children, more teachers than children. Teachers seem more enthusiastic than children do about finishing. Anyone finished work for Friday? They're off now on holiday. Quite a few people done. Anyone back to work tomorrow? I'll give you a little bit of break if you're back to work tomorrow. But for the rest of you, because you're on holiday now, you can do a bit more work now, right? Because you've just finished. You're on holiday, so you've all this mental free energy to use it. So we're going to do a bit of work as we look at this passage together as a church family. And for the first bit, I'm going to need 5 volunteers of any age, but probably younger ones. 5 volunteers, need hands in the air, who come to the front. Go, hand there. There's 1, 2. Yeah, you can come. 3. I've got 3 people. 4, Deborah, do you want to come? Jacob just swung it. Okay, you can come now, but fine, good. 5 volunteers, great. Okay, what we're going to do is I want to think about how the 4 different stories of Jesus' life, you know, the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, all tell us, all start their story. So how do they all start their story? So, you, Mr. Shiny Top, you stand here in the middle. You are going to be representative. This is a timeline, and Jacob here in the shiny top is going to be the birth of Jesus, right? This is 0 AD BC, the birth of Jesus. This is a big timeline down the church. So that far end there will be, I don't know, like kind of like 1000 AD, 1066 something. And that other end of the church will be like minus a couple of thousand years. So not the dinosaurs, not go that far back, but that's kind of roughly the timeline. We got that? Here's the timeline. Everyone nodding? Good, fine. Okay, so can people then flick with me to the Gospel of Mark and see how Mark begins. Okay, who would like to be the Gospel of Mark of you 4? Anyone of you? Volunteers? You're the Gospel of Mark. Congratulations. Well done. So someone can tell me where does the Gospel of Mark start with Jesus? It's verse 9 really you want to be looking at. Where does it start with Jesus? His baptism. It doesn't even start with his birth. So you need to come behind Jacob, because this is his birth, and you're going to stand a bit behind him. So he was baptized about 30 years old. It just skips his birth, doesn't interest in Christmas, starts his baptism. Mark's in a hurry. Okay, flick over to Luke, right? Luke is found in the church Bibles on page 968. Anyone like to be Luke here? You look great. You can be Luke. Thank you very much for helpful. Luke first really starts talking about Jesus down in verse 26. Anyone want to tell me how Luke starts talking about Jesus? Where it does? Not just the Roberts family. Anyone else? Elizabeth's pregnancy. Great. So Elizabeth is her cousin, and so it's about 9 months, a year or so before Jesus was born. So you need to stand a bit before Jacob. Because Luke starts his account with giving you some backstory before Jesus was born. And then he goes into the rest of it. Right, now flick to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Okay, it's on page 913. Anyone know Matthew starts with telling you the story of Jesus? The genealogy. Anyone know what a genealogy is? It's like a big family tree. So he starts with Abraham. Now, do you want to be Matthew? You want to be Matthew. Okay, you have a job. Because this starts with Abraham, which is thousands of years old. He used to run all the way to the back of church. That's what you're going to do. Can you go to the back of church there? And you're going to stand there. So Matthew starts well before Jesus is born. He's like, let me tell you all the way back from the very start of Abraham, which is a couple of thousand years beforehand, to tell you his family tree. Now, that means, Deborah, you're left with John. This is the hardest possible challenge. Are you up for it? Sort of, you're okay with that. Okay, everyone turn back to John, which Sarah just read for us. And John 1. And John 1 starts with 3 words. It says, in the beginning. Okay, on our big timeline then, where would Deborah have to go?
Through there into the narrow and back through that
She just go further than that. She just keep going. She carry on going as long as she could. In the beginning, it starts. That's the very beginning of everything. So, Deborah, you would need probably like a time machine or a space rocket to get all the way back beyond everything. That's how far you have to go. Right, thank you much for your help. You guys can sit back down now. I appreciate that greatly. Thank you. So, you see it starts those 3 words, in the beginning. Does anyone know where else you'd read that in the Bible? I'm hearing Genesis 1. I'm assuming Genesis 1. Great. The Bible starts in the beginning. And you know how, if you've been to see Star Wars yet, or you haven't, I won't spoil it, it presumably starts, I haven't seen it yet, with a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Right? When you see that appear on the screen, you know you're about to see a Star Wars film, right? Or if you're watching kids' TV and they say, like, happy, isn't it time for, you know it's an episode of Hey Dougie, because that's how it starts. So John starts with, in the beginning, and he's making a reference back to Genesis 1, where it says, in the beginning, God. But he doesn't say, in the beginning, God. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What he's saying there is when you look back at the beginning, before anything was made, before this existed, before shoes existed, before stars existed, before toast existed, before anything was made, there was God. And God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is just another way of saying the Son of God, of saying Jesus. Of saying before anything began, before there was a beginning, in the very beginning was God. Father, Son, that's the Word, and Holy Spirit. That's who was there. Now, he doesn't say just after the beginning was the Word. Or he say in the beginning there was God, and then a little bit later was the Word. He said, no, in the beginning, before anything began, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then just to remind you, in verse 2, he says, he was with God in the beginning. So there we have, before everything's made, God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son is the Word, also known as Jesus. And then it says in verse 3, through him all things are made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, I need two more volunteers for this. Preferably taller volunteers. You can still be a child, but not a short child, if that helps. I'll let you decide yourself what short and tall is. And then two volunteers. Okay, who haven't been up the front so far? Oh, great. Thank you, Haywards. You guys are praying as well, so don't tire you out. Okay, you can be created box. And you can be uncreated box. You need to stand facing the front with the things faced outwards. Great. This is a box saying created on. Everyone see that? It says created?
Yeah.
Good, holding up. It says uncreated. Everyone see the box?
Yeah.
Great. Now, in the beginning was God, and then he created everything. And without God, nothing was made that has been made. So, can anyone think of something that's created?
Giraffe.
Giraffe will go in this. Is this the created box? Oh, uncreated, sorry. This box. Giraffe will go in this. We'll see anything else created.
Trees.
They go in this box too.
Satellites,
dish, go in this one. They've been created, right? Sorry?
Churches,
being created in the box. Great, perfect, well done. Maths, created in the box. Socks, toast, whatever it is, whatever you have for breakfast, these things have been created. Okay, in the uncreated box over here, what would go in the uncreated box?
Dinosaurs.
Sorry?
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, they're still in the created box. Everything in the created box. Uncreated box, you have God. But you have God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't get wrong, the Son, the Word of God, doesn't sneak into the created box. He's always been uncreated. That's what it says there in that verse. It says, through him, that's the Word, that's the Son, that's Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So you could, if you wanted to, really stretch John out and throw everything he had in this room into the box and fill up the top. Nothing would go in there. But that's God. He is the one who is before everything, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Word, created everything. Right, you guys can put your boxes down out the way somewhere. We need them back in a bit, but I'll get someone else to volunteer. Thank you very much for your help. You can have a round of applause too. And we're going to look at one more verse. And actually, we're not even going to look at one more verse. We're going to look at about four words in one more verse. But just quickly, to remind you, because it's been so long since I was last up here, we were just looking about how in the beginning there was God, but God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Son of God, the Word of God, has always been there. And just, you know, John, who's writing this book here, is not just making that up. He's not just read Genesis and go, I'm going to change it. You know, it happens in films sometimes. They make a sequel and they just change what happened in the old one to fit the new one. That's not what John is doing. What he's doing is saying, look, even back in Genesis, if you read it, there you find that God speaks his word and his spirit's there. And all through the Bible, you see that God is not God, just this single monotone block, but rather God's always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Bible's saying, John's saying, in the beginning was the Word. He's there with God. He was God. That's the Son. And everything has been made through him. Everything came into being through him. There's giraffes, trees, plants, keys, satellites, all those things came into being through him. And then just further down in John, you read John chapter 1, verse 14. And this is profound then when you realize this. And the first four words say this: the Word became flesh. Okay, I'm going to stop there. We're going to actually, on Christmas Day, we're going to look at the rest of that verse. And just so you know, there is a challenge on Christmas Day. If you come to me and have memorized John 1:14, you will win a prize. Now, it's quite a long verse. I will let it be a bit easy for you. If you're a small child, you only have to memorize as many verses as your age. Words as your age, rather. So, a bit harder, isn't it? So if you're three, if you can just say Word became flesh, you get a prize. If you're like five, I want the Word became flesh and, a bit awkward, but there we go, you can do that. If once you start getting over 16, I want the entire thing. It's 31 words long, so you can probably manage it. But 14, 15, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But anyway, we're just going to look for now at those four first words. The Word became flesh. So the Word, as we've seen, is the Son of God. Is the Jesus, the Son who takes the name Jesus, and he's always been there. And then he became flesh. Now that's weird because he's the one who has made everything become. He's the one who does the becoming of stuff. He doesn't become himself, he does becoming. So if you remember these boxes, which are here, here's the created box. He's the one who makes everything be created, right? He is the one who becomes the giraffes, and not he becomes them, but he makes them come into being, and he makes the satellites come into being, and he makes your shoes come into being. I don't mean he physically goes and makes them, but all the things that caused shoes to make, he's the one who did that. But now it says he became something. The Word became. I mean, he stepped into it, and he didn't stop being uncreated, didn't stop being God. But he became creator. He took on a createdness. He stepped into this world. It's a bit like in a story, if the author came down and appeared in the book. It's that kind of thing of stepping into it. Or in like a computer game, the person who programmed the computer game entered into the world of the computer game. That's what happened. The Word who created everything, he stepped into the world and became himself created. And the Word became flesh. He became a human being, like a proper human being with a functioning body, with lungs that work and a heart and kidneys and eyeballs and other things that human beings have. He became one of those, like a proper squidgy human being you could poke and you could prod. He didn't cheat. So you know how Superman comes down to Earth, but he's not really human. He pretends to be human, but he's actually from Krypton. And he's got superpowers. He's from Krypton and can fly through the air and shoot things. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't cheat and come down as some super kind of person. And he didn't fake it either. He didn't come down as like kind of a pretend like kind of hologram of a human being, which looks real and feels real, but actually isn't really real. No, he became flesh, a real living human being. He also didn't secretly like kind of just take over someone else's body. He didn't go, that person, that baby's pretty healthy. I'll just go down and jump into that body and grab it. No, he actually became a baby. Remember we had, Luke's account starts with Mary getting pregnant. That's when the Son of God comes into the world. At her conception, she becomes with baby. And that's all the way through. Every stage of life, Jesus has lived through those. In the womb, growing up, getting born, all those kind of things he's happened. He is a person. The Bible tells us that Jesus sleeps, that Jesus cries, that he gets hungry, that he gets thirsty. He doesn't stop being God. He's still God and uncreated, but he is a creator. He takes on being created as well. That means he can do things like have dinner with his friends. He can drink wine with them. That means he can bleed, and that means he can die as well. So when we see the Word became flesh, this is John's Christmas. He's saying, look, the eternal Word, who's always been there, who spoke into being everything, who all the universe, the galaxies, the things we haven't even know exist yet because we haven't found them yet, all those things came into being through him, and he took on this flesh and became a baby. And the question then is, why did he do such a thing? Why would he the eternal Word, who's always existed, become a fleshy human being, which you can prod and poke? And the answer is to rescue and heal people like us. I'm going to put a dead guy on the screen right now who is going to appear. This is a guy called Gregory of Nazianzus. He is an old dead guy. He is from Turkey. He didn't look anything like that, but that's a modern-day picture of him. What hasn't been assumed can't be healed. This is an expression for why Jesus came into the world. He said, what hasn't been taken on can't be fixed. So unless God comes into the world and becomes a fleshy human being, he can't fix human beings. Unless he becomes one of us, he has to take it on so that Jesus in his own body can fix things. He steps into the world to rescue. It's a bit like, imagine I was saying earlier, an author comes into a story. Imagine the story doesn't make any sense and broken, so the author steps in and fixes it. Or you have a computer game that can't be solved. Every time it always crashes and breaks and doesn't make sense. So the programmer steps into it to take on it and to actually fix it and finish it and complete it. So he comes into it so that he can heal it. There's another dead guy up here in a second too. They look the same, don't they? I'm sure they didn't at all. This guy's from Egypt, so he probably wasn't that golden colour. But anyway, he's a guy called Athanasius, and he wrote a very early kind of defence of Jesus' birth. And what he said was, let me get this right, he said, he became what we are, so we might become what he is. So the eternal Word of God became what we are. He became a person like you or me, so that we could become what he is. We could get this eternal life with him. He came into the world like us, like a human being, to fix the problem of human beings so that we could become like him. And the way he does that, and this is why he has to take on flesh, is he dies. He takes on a human body in order to take it to the cross and die there. And the eternal Word of God, who has always existed, hangs on a cross and dies in his body to fix what's wrong with humanity, to heal us and to rescue us. That's been God's plan all the way from the beginning, before in the beginning, at the start. It's always been his plan for Jesus to enter into the world, to become this real person, to take on the problems and the issues of being a real person, all the things that are wrong with it, and to fix it and die. And because he's done that, we can have confidence that we will get that too. Because he's taken on our humanity, because he's become a fleshy human being and died and rescued us, then we know that we can go and be with him. He has become what we are, which means we will, if we trust in him, become what he is. We will become eternally with God. Now that's the really exciting news of Christmas. That's the great thing. That's why we can sing all those great hymns and we can say joy to the world, because the Savior has come to fix it all. That's what he's done. It's why we can sing, oh, come let us adore him, and we can worship Jesus because he is the eternal Word of God who has come into the world to rescue us. Now there's loads more stuff to say there, but in one sense, all I want us to do right now is to sing praise to God for what he's done, for the goodness that he has done to us, that he has sent, and God has come, the eternal Word has always been there, and become a person like us, step down into the world to rescue us. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to stand and we're going to sing in great joy and cheer, remembering how good God is in this rescue he has performed by stepping into the world and becoming a human being to rescue us.